Merge by MP3 toolkit.
Alrighty, somebody's trying to throw me off with scriptures already. Let's get to the word this morning. Not going to be teaching anything new this morning, although I've got something rolling around in me you probably haven't heard in this church, and I'll be teaching it soon. Little ones, you're out of here. Now, parents and grandparents, if you're not supposed to be back there, don't go. Please, stay in here if you're not supposed to be out there. If you got to go in there and get your kids settled, that's fine. Get on back over here. We need you in here. Okay. How many of you have been battling the sickness lately, all that junk that's been going around? Just keep quoting the word over yourselves. It works. I'm not saying don't go to a doctor. If you need to go to a doctor and get some antibiotics, go. But don't forget the word. Now, we may have to turn that one down again on this side. That's been kicked up over on this side because I'm the one that kicked it up. I thought people might be cold. Leo, would you mind going back there and kick this thermostat down a notch? Just 1 degree. It's amazing. This building, 1 degree makes a huge difference. It really does. It's insulated well. Oh, I didn't see Richard back there. He could have done it. So take it down just one notch. Thank you, guys. All right, let's get into the word. I'll do my best not to keep you a long time today, but we're going to let the Holy Ghost have his time. I'm going to do my best to do a little teaching this morning. And if he wants me to preach, and he'll put the preach on me. If not, then you'll just have to endure my teaching. Amen? Nothing new. But it is something that we have to do. There is a commandment in the Bible that we must obey. Yeah, but the Old Testament commandments or laws are done away with. No. Jesus said he didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill it, knowing you couldn't do it yourself. And then we trust in him. He lives in us, and he helps us to live the way he wants us to live. But there is a law that he gave, and it's not an option. It's a commandment. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give thee. You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this is all the law fulfilled." Jesus didn't say a word about doing away with the law. I know there's a lot of preaching out there right now about law don't mean nothing no more. You be careful how much of that you swallow. Amen? Now, I know we're under grace. We're not under the Old Testament laws to the point we have to keep them to be saved. But God didn't take the Ten Commandments and throw them out. If that's the case, then it's still okay. It's okay to go out and kill. It's okay to go out and commit adultery. It's okay to go out and fornicate. It's okay to steal. It's okay to put another God above God. He didn't throw that out. It's still there. I heard a preacher on TV the other day, a big name preacher that's literally all over the world, make this statement. Well, if you live together, God don't care. You won't go to hell over it. But yet Jesus told us if we fornicate or if we commit adultery, if we don't get it right, you could miss God. Be careful, a lot of this preaching out there right now. Well, Pastor, you're old-fashioned the other way. No, the Scripture declares there must be a balance. You must live God's Word if you want the blessings. Is it a heaven or hell matter? It's between you and God. I think there are some things that are heaven and hell matter, and I think there's some things that you're just going to miss on some blessings on. Amen? All right. But there's a law that we must obey if we want the things we need from God to operate. The Scripture says that the just shall live by what? Come on, church, you've been taught. Faith. It is only faith that moves the hand of God when you need him to. And then Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 says what? It says faith works by love. I'm still on this series of the love walk. Now, why would you teach us on that? Pastor, we all know these things, yes, but do you live them? Do you actually live the love walk? Because you can know the Bible from front to back. You can quote it in your sleep. But if you're not living the love walk, that's why many of you keep calling me up and say, it ain't working for me. And I ask you repeatedly, check your heart. Who are you ticked off at? Who are you mad at? Who are you holding unforgiveness for? Who are you holding a grudge against? Who is it you don't want to be around and you don't like? Well, and it always comes up sooner or later. And when we do, I can pinpoint real quick why your faith is not working. Because your love walk is off. Jesus didn't say, please, 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 please. He said, that's a command. If you want me to work, you have to do this. Now, I said 2 weeks ago, and I said again last week, the Lord spoke to me on Saturday night prior to the Sunday, 2 weeks ago, and said, tell my people this. Real simple stuff. This is not rocket science. Tell my people this. You don't have to be gushy, gushy, feely, feely, touchy, touchy with people to love them. You can actually not like a person that much and still love them. Now, let me explain that. Love is an action. Genuine agape love is an action. God loves us with what is called an agape love. In other words, there are no conditions on it. He doesn't love us because he loves us in spite. How many of you understand that? Amen? I'm grateful for that because if I had to please him in every area of my life to get his love, I wouldn't be in good shape because I let him down just like you do. Love is an action. It's an act of kindness or doing good to someone else. How many of you know you don't have to like a person to do something nice for them? Amen? So get it out of your head. Well, I just don't like being around them. How am I supposed to love them? It's not about your feelings. It's about what you do. If you are obeying God, you can take your worst enemy and you can do something nice for them that will witness to them for the Father. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's what genuine love is. Amen? Amen. So you don't have to just, oh, come here, let me hug you and love on you and just be gushy-gushy over it. Most of us aren't that way. But you can be nice. You can be sweet. You can go out of your way to do something for somebody. That is God's kind of love. Amen? Amen. Now, what about God? He loves us no matter. He does. But we're still growing into that. We haven't got it there yet. How many of you know that? Amen? How many of you know that there are, come on, be honest. How many in this church right now this morning will say, there are people I just don't want to be around? That's got nothing to do with the fact you can't walk in love towards them. Amen? Now, we talked about all that, and I'm not going to go through all that again. The CDs are there. We're going to pick it up down here again this morning with a few definitions of love. Amen? And we're taking this based out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, we looked at chapter 12 and verse 31. It ended this way. Paul was writing to the church about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how we're all placed into the body of Christ and how we all have a part to play. And God said in verse 18 that he put us in the local body as it pleased him. The local body there is referring to the local assembly or the church that he directs you to. It's not somebody, he didn't put you here just so you could have a whole bunch of people in here that you're crazy about. He puts you here for a reason to hook up, to grow, and to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Amen? Now watch this. He said over here in verse 31, 1 Corinthians 12, 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. What gifts? Well, he gave a whole list of gifts, ministry gifts in there. Prophecy, healing, discernment, wisdom, knowledge, and so forth. And he says, and the Holy Spirit will place these in the church throughout the body as it pleases him. He says, but if you want to be a part of that, you need to covet, or you need to desire the very best gifts to bless the body. Amen. However, he says this, but yet I show unto you a more excellent way than what? Than the best gifts that operate in the church. Amen. Here's what it is. It is the gift of love. He says to show charity or love. Amen. Yet I show you a still more excellent way, one that is better far, and the highest of them all is love. Now, why is that the case? Because the gifts do not operate to the fullest extent of what God needs them to move through if the walk of our love with each other is not placed in the church. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's the truth. I see churches go belly up that were once on fire for God. I see it in this church sometimes. People just kind of just cooled off and not serving God the way they should and no longer hot after God sometimes the way that they should be because they're distracted with life or they don't like a person in church or pastor placed this one in a certain area of the church and it's something I wanted and I'm mad at them or whatnot. You understand Ginger and I pray about everything we do first. How many of you understand that? Amen? And sometimes he tells me and her to do some things that I don't necessarily agree with in my flesh. But guess what? I'm not the boss. He is. Amen? I ask him repeatedly, why did you give us a church that seats 300 where we're struggling to fill up a few rows? Why? Now I'm in debt. I've got to take care of this building. I've got to have the finances to come in. If that ain't enough, as soon as we build a building, two things happen. The economy goes belly up, and then the other thing is about half of them leave. Now, Lord, I know you knew this ahead of time. So why? And all he ever tells me is, trust me, son. Trust me, son. Trust me, son. It's my church. You just continue to be faithful and do what I tell you to do. Anybody in that position that you ask God constantly, what, Lord, what is it? What am I here for? This, that, and the other. And what does he tell you? Sit back, enjoy the ride, and trust me. Amen. Amen. Now listen, he tells us that he wants the gifts to operate in the church. But he's not going to place gifts in people who refuse to be good to other people in the church and allow it to operate at its best capacity to bless the church. How many of you understand that? Some people ask me in general, why does it always operate just through you? I sometimes feel like I got something to say too. That's not mine and Ginger's desire. Our desire is that it would go into the church seats, the body here, amen, and operate the way that it should. It should operate through you, the people. Now, there's gifts that we have, and it'll operate through us. But these gifts are meant to be spread throughout the body as a body ministry. But if we don't have our heart right with others, God's not going to allow you to prophesy to others. You still with me? He's not going to allow you to operate knowledge or wisdom or discernment and show you some things about some other people in the church. Because instead of you using it for the church the way it should be, you're sitting there going on the phone saying, oh, the Lord showed me such and such about that person. The last thing we need to do as a church, the number one church killer is this, running our mouths about the people in the congregation. You know what me and Ginger do when people come to us and say, did you hear? And I say, stop right there. You see these 2 ears? They're not trash cans. Have you ever listened? Yes, and I wish I hadn't when I did. Oh, don't sit out there and look at me that tone of voice. Somebody's come to you and said such and such and such, and you can't help it. It's human nature to want to listen. But when we do, two things happen. We open a door for the enemy to get into our church, split it up, tear it up, And if that's not the case, there's more to it than that. From now on, when you see or talk or around that person, you have doubts about what really kind of person they are. You with me? Why do you want to know about their worst? How about we look for their best? That's what a body does. That's what a body does. Now watch this. We started last week with that, 12 verse 1. And then we look down here at 13 verse 1. Amen? Amen. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 says, love suffereth long. The dictionary defines long-suffering as bearing iniquities, insults, trouble, patiently for a long, long time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 4 through 6, the Apostle Paul gave us a lesson on being approved for ministry. Where are you going here, Pastor? Hang on, I'll show you. A lesson on long-suffering. He said, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by the Holy Ghost. Now, what has this got to do with my love walk? Because every single one of you are ambassadors for Christ. You may not believe that people watch you, but the scripture says you are living epistles or letters, or you're a book that the world sees and they're looking for something different in you than what they've got. Are you with me? Amen. Paul said, for me to be approved for ministry. Well, I'm not a minister. Oh, yes, you are. You just operate in a different place in the body of Christ than what I do. You don't have to be a pastor to be a minister. You're all ministers of God. And he says, this is how I do it. This is how I do it. I have to be long-suffering. They're always after me to execute me, to hurt me, to punish me, to put me in jail, to kill me, to beat me or whatever. But here's how I operate no matter what. I don't let what they say or do bring me off of my ministry. If I do, I am not approved by the Holy Ghost to represent God. Now watch. Again, he says, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities. That's the things that you need in life. In distresses. Anybody ever been there? In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labor, in watchings, in fastings. How? By pureness. I keep my life pure. Watch. By knowledge. How do I do that? This. I make sure to put this in me. Amen. By long suffering, once I've got the Word of God in me, once I've got knowledge in me, once my heart is pure, I can handle the long suffering of people. How? By the power of the Holy Ghost. This is what Paul said, not me. When we feel as though others are treating us unfairly, we demonstrate God's love to them by pureness of heart, actions, by knowledge of God's word applied in our lives, by long suffering, and all this is done when I lean on the help of the Holy Spirit. Romans says what? The love of God is spread abroad or shed abroad throughout my spirit by the Holy Ghost. But most of us, even though we have the Holy Ghost in here, we don't tap into the Holy Ghost that has a love in there for people. We have a tendency to look at Christians and say, did you hear? Did you know? You know, the scripture's clear. What we sow, we reap. If we talk about other people, I promise, I guarantee it, based on God's word, it's going to come back to you. It will come back to you. If you gossip about other people, if you spread rumors about other people, if you've got something you just cannot say, and you open your mouth, get ready. Jesus said, it's coming back. Well, I didn't come here to hear this morning. Well, you want your faith to work, don't you? Amen. Love worketh by what? Or faith worketh by what? Love. Number two, I said, love is kind. The dictionary defines kind as sympathetic, friendly, gentle, tender-hearted, generous, cordial, kind, loving, affectionate. I said last week, and this is the last review from last week, kindness among people today is a lost art, especially among Christians anymore. Today, most people are simply out for themselves and their own selfish desires. It's the truth. Amen. And you know it. Go with me real quickly to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to do some serious reading. In Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. We'll pick it up down here, Ephesians 4, and we're going to get in here about verse 11. Yes. And he, being God the Father, he gave what? He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. These are what we call the fivefold ministry gifts. These are gifts. You'll find them all, believe it or not, in 1 Corinthians 13. They're just not listed out the same way. You'll find them in other places in the Word of God. God said, look, I want my church to operate, and I've set it up with a certain order, and I gave these platform gifts to instruct the people. Why did he give them? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, that is the maturing. The word perfecting means maturing of the saints. That's you. So that you can do the work of the ministry. For the edifying or the building up or the lifting up or the growing up of the body of Christ. My job is to teach you word that will teach you to go and be a blessing to grow up the church. It's not my job to grow you up by myself. It's my job to instruct you, get you in place in this church, get you hooked up in this church, that you can then take what you learn and take different parts of this church, hook up with it, and grow it up. That's your job. The pastor doesn't beget the sheep. The sheep beget the sheep. You with me? My job is to lead. Your job is to do the work of the ministry. Amen. Now watch. For how long are we going to do that, Pastor? Till we all come into the unity of the faith. How long is that going to go? Until Jesus comes back. We're going to be working on this a while. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure or the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed about to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, saying that every, right now, I'm telling you, there's a lot of preaching going on right now. If you don't be careful, you will get caught up in it. But speaking the truth, what's this? How? Just giving somebody a piece of your mind? In love. How many of you know that you can talk to people and they can put their hands up and don't want to hear because of the way you talk to them? Or you can talk to people with some love and grace and compassion and mercy coming from you, and they're more apt to listen to what you've got to say. Come on now, don't shout me down because I'm telling you the truth. It all depends on your attitude. If my wife comes at me angry, I hear what she says in my head, but it doesn't penetrate my heart because now I'm mad at her and I don't receive, and vice versa. But if she comes to me and she gently walks by and say, honey, we need to talk, and she puts her hands on my shoulder or walks in or sits down, I especially know something's coming when all of a sudden now the clear blue, one of my favorite meals is getting cooked. I didn't ask. And I start thinking, uh-oh, we're about to have a conversation. Whether I know or whether I don't know or whether I like it, whatever I don't like, she is buttering me up, fattening me up for the kill. Amen. When she starts pulling out shrimp and steak and baking certain kind of cookies and I haven't asked for it, I start going, oh, God, what have I done now? But I'm more apt to receive because she's done it sweetly. Now, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes my defenses go up. Don't sit up there and look at me in that tone of voice. You do too. We get selective hearing real quick. Some of you have selective hearing when you come to church. I like that. And then you just swallow it. I don't like what he just said, and you turn it off. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, we talked about that, and I get down here. It says that we are no longer to be children. God wants you to grow up out of your childhood state. Get out of your babyhood diapers. It's time to get out of your spiritual pampers. Your husband, your wife, your pastor, those that love you are tired of changing those things. They stink. If you have a three-year-old who poops his britches, that's kind of expected. If you have a 53-year-old who's pooping his britches, or something's wrong. And Christians have a tendency to constantly spiritually poop their britches. It's the truth. Because we don't want to grow up. To grow up means I've got to acknowledge some things in my life. Some stuff God's been after me to do for a long time, and I just don't want to hear it. I'm comfortable the way I am. What's wrong with him? Don't he love me? Yes, he loves you. Enough that he needs you to step up to the plate because there's more that needs to come into the body of Christ, and you need to be prepared to take them to a higher level. And you can't do it going to the bathroom, changing your own spiritual poopy pants. You still with me this morning? How many of you still love the pastor this morning? Now watch. By the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, they lay in wait to deceive. Wow. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things. He didn't say he wants us to grow up in some things. He needs you to grow up so that when the next batch of new believers comes in, you're ready. You need to step up to the plate and help the pastors, educate, love, be there, help, counsel, work on, serve people who don't know God like you're supposed to know them. How many of you understand it's a pay it forward type of thing? Amen. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, that's all of us and all the rest of the body of Christ. But right now, let's just bring this down to this church. This church, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint, say, I'm a joint. No, some of you are out of joint all the time. Try that again. I'm a joint. I want to hear you say, I'm a joint. Till you can acknowledge it, you ain't a joint, except out of joint. And out of joint hurts. I'm a joint. Okay. Boy, I'm getting less and less of you. If you're a joint, then what are you supposed to do? You supply. By whom every joint supplies. Well, what does the church need? You, in your place, tithing, giving, serving. And growing. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. when we all do our part, you won't have to worry about empty seats. God can't bring a whole lot of other people in here till we get ready. I'm serious about that. I'm just going to say that. Why should he bring in another 100 or 200 people put in here, and they're not even as grown up as what some of you are? And some of you got a lot of growing to do. Why would he bring them in here for us to mess them up? Are you hearing me? He needs us to grow up, learn to be a part of the body, learn to supply, learn to be a tither, a giver, a server, someone who can love people without picking at people, so that he can then bring in the next wave, because you're supposed to take care of them. You with me? Well, I just don't know what I want to do in the church. How about whatever is necessary until God grows you up to the right one? I guarantee you, I have people all the time come to me and say, I want to serve. Well, we got a lot of places to serve, but that's not where I want to serve. I want to preach, Pastor. Great. How about starting as a servant? I want to be on the platform and sing. How about doing other things first? I want to teach children. Wonderful. Great. We'd love to have you. But don't need the language and stuff coming out of your mouth towards them. You wouldn't dare say that. It shocks me at what I hear on the phone. It shocks me at what comes out across my desk when I'm talking to Christians. Oh, I didn't mean that, Pastor. Well, if you didn't mean it, why did you say it? You know you can break yourself of slang language? You know how I know that? I did. My wife and my children will tell you, you don't ever hear slang language coming out of me. Why? A long time ago, I decided that's not worthy to come out of my mouth as a Christian. So I just broke the habit. I learned to practice not to say bad words. Yeah, but it ain't going to send me to hell. No, but it makes it sound like you're in the middle of it when you're talking to other Christians or witnessing to people. Now listen. He tells us over here, this I say, verse 17, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not like other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have so learned Christ. In other words, you've got no more excuses. Watch. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle. Amplified says lifestyle. The old lifestyle concerning the old man, the way you used to be before you got born again, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Now what is he saying here? He is saying we used to be that way. Those that are unsaved are still that way. But there's got to come a point that we grow to the point there's a distinction between what we used to be and where we are now. Are you with me? He's not pleased with me using four-letter words. I'm supposed to have been grown up at that point, that I don't get mad and say some stuff and do some stuff and go some places that I used to do. Why? Because I have been brought into the body of Christ. I've learned some things about him, and he wants me as a Christian to grow up so that I can be a joint that supplies in the body for the next group of young Christians that come in here, so I'm mentally, physically, and spiritually prepared to teach the next new wave of people. This is not just about you and your walk. You understand you're not an island. Everything you say and everything you do, somebody sees. And they judge you on that. I don't like being judged. Well, you're getting judged whether you like it or not. People watch. People here. I had people just this week try to tell me and Ginger some things. We said, stop right there. Don't care to hear about it. Yeah, but you need to know it's going to come back to you. Well, if God brings it to us, we'll deal with it. But I don't need to have it circulating around. Well, where did you get that? People outside of church. And what are you listening for anyway? Now, I'm using that as an example. We need to be guarded. We should be looking for the best in the church. Yeah, but people are people, Pastor. Yes, they are. And the last time I looked, when I was looking in the mirror, I was looking at one of them. That means I ain't arrived yet. I've still got tons of growing to do. But I can't just say, oh, well, I'm just a human being. God understands. He don't care. Yes, he does. He expects more out of me. He expects us daily to take a step forward. Are you with me? This is just plain old practical Christian teaching, Christian living this morning. Amen. Watch what he says here in verse 25, whereby putting away lying. Now, he's not talking to the non-believer here. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. It's amazing to me when I read these letters that he is having to tell Christian, born-again, spirit-filled people, you don't need to be a part of this kind of lifestyle. It's supposed to fall off when we get born again as we grow. Put away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. The neighbor here is not referring to people outside the church. It's referring to people in your church. Now watch. Be ye angry. It's okay if you get mad at somebody. Somebody crosses you in the church. We have emotions. We have feelings that God put in us. It's okay. It's all right if you get angry. Don't let no preacher tell you nowhere that emotions don't come up because somebody wronged you. But he said don't sin in the process. What is sin in the process? Getting on the phone and ratting them out to everybody else, running up to them and giving them a piece of your mind, telling them off, you know, spreading their name around like mud. He said, don't do that. Your emotions, he made you an emotional being. You might have times when you're not happy with somebody, but don't sin in the process. And then he goes on to say, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Why? Because you're just going to seethe. And sooner or later, if you don't cut it off, it's going to get to you and you're going to go do something you wish you hadn't said or done. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Watch. Neither give place to the devil. What does that mean? He's going to always be there to put someone else's faults where you can see them. Why? So he can trip you up. So he can get you to say something about the body of Christ. So he can split up the church. So he can cause people not to fellowship together. That's his job. He does it well. There are a lot of people who used to go to this church and every other church in this town and every other church around the world that do not go to those churches anymore because someone said something and it hurt their feelings. My dad was a great minister of God at one time. Him and my mother's brother. And it was brother and sister had married brother and sister. My uncle married a sister of my dad. And my dad married a sister of my uncle. And they were both ministers of God, wonderful men, knowledgeable in the word. One was a teacher, my uncle, and the other was a preacher, my dad. And that man could preach, passionate preach. But somebody wounded both of them in the church. Now, they had a lot of word in them, and they were gifted preachers and teachers. This is a true story. But they had not grown in this area here. They had not grown with this walk of love here. And instead of being able to work through it, they both became offended. And they both dropped out of church. And they never went back. two gifts that God had placed in the body of Christ that could have blessed so many people in my family. One had been asked, my dad had been asked in several places, come be our pastor. He couldn't get past the offense of his own church. My uncle couldn't get past the offense of his own church. He was asked to be pastor out of some churches. People who needed them, but they couldn't get past the offense of their own church. And they dropped out of church. Never to go back full-time regularly again. Hit and miss now and then, once in a while. I had to learn to take myself to church with my sisters. I'd load up my car and take my mother and my sisters because my dad just would not go back to that church. That's sad. That's what the enemy likes to do. He likes to split people up, stop the gift of the ministry. He went home to be with the Lord one day. Now, was he a Christian? Yes, he was a Christian. He loved God. He prayed. He sought God every day. I heard him speaking in tongues just about every time I got around him. He knew his Bible. But he had come to a point, if that's what church is, I'm not going. And yet God had called him to lead a church. And he couldn't do it because of an offense. How about you? There are people who've left this church because of a so-called offense. I'm not going to that church. Not with them people there. What has them people got to do with you? There's 300 seats. You don't have to sit by them. What are you here for? Are you here to get the word and get close to God? Or are you here to look over the shoulder at them people you can't stand? Amen. What's what he says? Be ye angry, but don't you sin. Stop letting the sun go down on your wrath. Get it right before it just gets worse, in other words. Neither give place to Satan. He will tear you out of the church. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Now watch this. We always think about he's talking about a thief. He's not talking about a thief. Because he goes on to say this, that he may give to him that needeth. You can steal from God in many ways. Your time, your gift, your abilities, your tithe, your offering, your service. But he says, I need you so that you can do what? Be able to bless others. We always think of somebody who's just out there stealing. He's writing to the church. He's not writing to the people outside of the church here. Are you with me? Pastor, you chewing us out? No. I told you that he told me, I need you to preach on the love walk because I want to move in amongst my people more than I'm able to move right now. This is not a scrubbing teaching. I don't do that anymore. This is helping you to see how to grow in him so that the church, you, everyone benefits. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Amen. Truthfully, I didn't even know I was going to go this way this morning. I had other things I was going to talk about this morning with this. Now watch. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up or lifting up someone else, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What does that mean? That means this. Let's don't talk about each other. Let's don't backbite each other. Let's don't gossip with each other. Amen? Are you hearing me? Let's don't spread rumors about each other. What are we supposed to do? Things that will lift them up. And only those things. Yeah, but what are they doing, Pastor? That's none of your business. It's really none of your business. That's between them and God. It's not my place to judge a single one of them. It's my place to teach them the word and help them. It's yours to help them too. Now watch what he says. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How do I do that? Everything he just said. We do these things and we grieve the Holy Spirit. whereby you're sealed into the day of redemption. He says, look, this is not how Christians ought to act, and it grieves the very Spirit of God if we do these things that we just read. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And he ends this chapter on be ye kind. We said what while ago? Love is kind. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen? You still with me? Real quickly, run to Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, boy, you're a quiet group this morning. I get the feeling y'all think I've taken the spanking out. It's not. This will help you to grow. Well, Pastor, what about you? Hey, when I read these words, he gets on me. Long time ago, I used to not want to go and talk to the Father. And somebody asked me that, why don't you want to go talk to him? I said, because every time I do, he shows me something I need to change, and I'll be honest, I don't like it. Oh, don't sit out there and look at me that tone of voice. You've done it too. You know there's some things going on in your life, and you know that if you go talk to him, he's going to be truthful with you. And you know you don't want to change it. I'll never forget that. This guy come up and said, Pastor, he said, do you pray? I said, I pray all the time. He said, what do you pray about? And I listed off this stuff. He said, well, do you pray about stuff that you need to change? I said, no, I try to stay away from that. Why? Because I know he's going to tell me I need to change some stuff. And I don't want to hear it. And the Lord reminded me of that. I was praying not long after that, a couple of days after that, and the Lord tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, do you remember what you just told that guy the other day? I said, about what? He said, about not wanting to talk to me about things you need to change. I said, well, I couldn't lie to him because I knew he knew. And I said, yeah, why? He said, I think it's time you started listening and start making me the center, so because there's a few things, young man, you need to change. So I started off, and I did. But you know what? He was such a gentleman about it. He did not put condemnation on me. He just said, these are areas, son, you can improve, and I will help you if you'll allow me to. Boy, did I feel better after that. I thought he's going to drag the whip out and give me a good hard whooping on it. But he loved on me. Now, he meant business. Don't misunderstand me. And he expected me as a pastor to make some changes. I was a very young pastor just getting started. And I learned some things. All right, Romans chapter 5. 15, did I say 15? Verse 1. We then that are strong. Now, right here, I'm going to make about half of you really mad. It never ceases to amaze me how people who need to grow always think they're the most mature person in the church. They will tell me everything about everybody else. And I'll look at them and tell them, don't you think you could grow in this area? And they get mad. I'm the mature one in here. No, you ain't. By your lifestyle and by your conversation and by your actions, I can tell you right now, you got a little growing up to do. But you see, we don't think that we're immature. We always think the person across the aisle is immature. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Well, you got to get strong so you can help another one. Did I not say a while ago the reason God needs you to grow up so you can turn around and help others as they come in? Because when they get in here, they're not going to be grown up. But you can't help them if you can't help yourself first. Let us therefore follow after the things which make... Oh, I'm sorry. Forget that. I was going to go a different direction. Let us, every one of us, please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, there again, I'm not talking about your next door neighbor, although you ought to be nice to them. Maybe you'll win them to the Lord. But I'm talking about the person sitting across the aisle from you in the body of Christ in the church. I have people tell me in this church, I like everybody but these three. I'll never get along with these three. Okay. then this is for you this morning. I double dog, triple dog, quadruple dog dare you after church today to go to some people that you really don't care for. Reach out, shake their hand, and hug their neck. It just might shock you how you can start getting rid of those ill will feelings towards them. I used to have every Sunday I had people get up and hug everybody's neck. Why? Five people every Sunday. Because it's hard to stay mad at somebody, you have to hug a neck. There was a method to my madness. Maybe we need to get back to that again. Now watch what he says. For even Christ pleased not himself, verse 3, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. What does that mean? Well, the Amplified says it this way. For Christ did not please himself, gave no thoughts to his own interest. But as it is written, the reproaches and abuses of those who reproached and abused you fell on me. He said, I took this for you so that you can learn to take it yourself. You can do this. You can do this. By God, I'll tell them off in a heartbeat. That's not what he said. Wouldn't it be something if Jesus looked at the soldier and said, touch me. I double dog dare you to touch me. Go ahead. I'll give you a piece of my mind, and when I call fire down, I'm going to consume every one of you. You ain't putting me on no cross for a bunch of people who don't even like me. I ain't going through this for them. He said, no, their abuses, their insults, their reproaches, I took. And if I took it, I fixed it to where you can get through it, because my strength is given to you to go through the abuses that you're going to go through in life. Are you with me? Now watch. Watch. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one towards another according to Christ. What does that mean, like-minded? We can't have 15 or 20 different ideals going around in the church. Well, the pastor ought to run it this way. No, you ought to do this. That's how people leave. I've had people come in my office and tell me I'm running the church so badly they can't stay. I say, okay, find a church you're happy with. One come in here and said, turn the church over to me. I'm not making this up. Turn it over to me. You just preach and teach. We'll manage the church for you. We'll take it over. We'll take it. You just don't know what you're doing. Seemed like God must have messed up then, because he's the one that called me, anointed me, sent me here to build this, and you were nowhere around when this thing got built. So all of a sudden now, you're going to tell me how to run the church? You're going to tell me how to listen to the Holy Ghost? I don't think so. You can't learn nothing, Pastor? Oh, you bet you I can. But I have a master that this church belongs to. And I will listen to him if it makes every one of us, including me, mad. He hasn't always told me to do stuff that pleased me. Sometimes he tells me to do stuff in the church, and I go back to him, are you sure I didn't hear from you? Get thee behind me, Satan. The Lord said, don't call me Satan. I'm the one telling you to do this. Sorry about that, Jesus. Now watch. Watch this. We're to be like-minded. We're not to have so many different ways that we think we all got to do. Well, I don't like this one. I don't like that. I don't like the way he preaches. I don't like the songs. I don't like the cool air. I don't like the hot air. I don't like the service times. I don't. He says we've all got to come in one accord. God did not move on the day of Pentecost till the gripers had left and 120 seekers stayed, and then God moved in unity. And the Holy Ghost fell, and the church was born. Verse 8, that you may be one mind, one mouth, and glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Amen. Isn't Jesus good? Hallelujah. We that are strong, we do things to please others. We lift them up when they're weak. We don't talk about them to everybody else when they fall. We don't get on the phone and tell everybody what they did. We lift up the weak. When you do that, you're telling God and your pastor, you're not one of the strong ones. Then you come to me and you say, but I want a ministry of my own. We had a lady here that got mad at me and Ginger here just, 5 months or so ago. Left the church. Won't support the church. Won't be here during the midweek part at all. And came to us and demanded a women's Bible study. But I'm called to teach. Can you first serve? You don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. I'm called to teach. Well, if you're called to teach, let me help you by giving you some things that you can do. You help us out, and then God will promote you, for promotion coming from the Lord. Well, if I can't hold a women's Bible study, I won't come to church at all. Okay. Then you just told me your heart. It's all about me, 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 me. How are we going to put people in a platform to do that? Quit the church. Got mad and quit the church. And you know what their excuse was? Going around all over town telling people something wrong in that church. Something wrong in that church. That pastor don't hear from God. If he'd have heard from God, he'd have let me do what I told him I ought to be doing. Come on now, folks. Come on now, folks. Do our part. And God will do the promoting. How many of you would like to do more in the church sometimes for God? Let me see your hands. It's not hard. Make yourself available. It's all there is to it. Make yourself available. I guarantee there's plenty of work to do. And here's the thing. You may not start off where you want to be, but if you stay faithful, you'll end up where God wants you to be. I started off cleaning potties, and I wasn't anointed to do it. Miss Charlotte has a gift. She has a call to take care of 17,000 square feet of building. That is a call and an anointing. Oh, how can you be called and anointed to clean? Oh, you can. Let me just say this. We've had a lot of other people come through here and try to do that job. And they ain't doing it no more. I don't have to tell her nothing. I don't have to say, would you please take care of this? I don't have to get after her or do anything. Because God, we all had to go up to Salt Lake one time. We stayed in two different rooms. And it was through VA, and we both had to be up there that same time, and we both stayed at a place called Fisher House. Now, my wife is bad about cleaning stuff. She is. I mean, she's one of them people who's just, everything's got to be perfect. But she don't take cleaning supplies with her to a hotel. Not calling no names, but her initials are Charlotte Babin. Cleaned the building before she got in there. Cleaned it every day she was there, and cleaned it before we left. And the people are sitting here. You got a cleaner sitting outside. People are supposed to be coming there doing their job, getting paid for it. And you could almost see them. I ain't going to have anything to do today. Maybe I'll just go in there and pretend. Because I'm being paid to clean that room. Because Charlotte can't help herself. It's all over her. A preacher can't help himself. It's all over him. You can be called in many areas of the church and give your supply. Watch. Let's finish this up this morning. I'm going to let you go home early today in about 3 hours. I'm kidding. The ball games are coming on. Y'all all kill me. Now watch. Let's finish this up. Hallelujah. Let's learn not to just please ourselves when we go to the body of Christ to worship together, but learn to allow yourself to be gratified by helping others, not to be gratified by the weakness and the downfall of others. God is not ever pleased, when we can be gratified by the problem of another person. I'm going to have to get it out. I can't remember where it's at this morning, but I'll find it and bring it to you. It actually says in a place in Scripture, it says this. Be careful how, I'm just paraphrasing Pastor Pierce style. Be careful how we judge others. Because if we do, we'll look up one day and find ourselves in the very same situation. Because what you sow, you reap. God will be sure it comes back around. Why? Because he's a mean God? No, because you opened the door. He said, don't do that, and it won't happen. But when we seem to find pleasure in the downfall of another Christian, our minds need to be renewed by the word of God. Our spirits need to be right in our hearts. That's what Paul said. I'm an ambassador of Christ. And so are you. And I have to do it these ways. Yes, I'm going to take abuse. Yes, people's not going to be nice to me. Yes, people's not going to walk in love towards me. But I do it by pureness, by the knowledge of God's word, pure heart, knowledge of God's word, and by the help of the Holy Ghost, I keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing towards people who hate me. Me and Ginger in this church are the biggest target in this town. I'm not going to lie about that. I have people come to me constantly, both in the church and out of the church, of how someone has approached them and actually trying to tell them, get out of that church. That pastor and his wife is going to fall. That church is going under. Go find you another pastor. Go find you another church. Because they got mad and left. We catch flack constantly. I get phone calls. Not nice ones. But my job is to keep a pure heart, keep the knowledge of God's word in me, take the reproaches and the abuses against me, and still love people by the help of the Holy Ghost, and not glory in their weaknesses, but be there to lift them up. Not spread rumors because I heard it. You know, I'm going to end it with this morning. This just came to me. The Lord gave me this last night, in the middle of the night, about 2 o'clock. I was laying there. I had fallen asleep about 1. And about 2, I woke up, and he was telling me this. He said, it really bothers me when my own people, how do I put this? This is paraphrasing. Cannot hardly wait to take a juicy tidbit of gossip, and it's just busting in them till they can get it out and tell somebody. He says, I take no pleasure in that. Sometimes we hear something or know something about somebody, and it may be factual. But does that mean we're supposed to let it out? We hurt, we wound, we destroy reputations. And that's what he said. He said, it is unpleasing to me and it really upsets me when my own people cannot wait to share something they've heard detrimental to some about someone else in the body of Christ. We shouldn't do that, folks. It's called the love walk. I told you last week, you got to stay on that love walk line. And on that line, and only on that line, your faith will work. When you ask God for things, your faith will work. If you're not getting things to work in your life, ask God, is there something in my heart towards other people? And then be honest with yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Listen to the Holy Ghost. He's not going to condemn you, but he will show you where you need to make some adjustments. He loves you. He's not out to punish you or beat you up. The enemy does enough of that. But he will correct you if you will allow him to. And when you can come to the place that you can receive correction and make the adjustments, then you are growing up, like Ephesians 4 says, that you can be a joint that is compacted together with other joints in the church to be a supply so we can get the next generation coming in grown up in Christ. Stand to your feet. This is good preaching, whether you like it or not. Amen. I didn't come here to hear this morning, Pastor. I wanted some new revelation. Well, how about some old revelation you need to learn? I've got some new revelation going to come up in a few weeks here. I've got something that's been rolling around in my spirit, and I'm going to come preach it. It's not anything I've taught in this church. I told you, every time God gives me new stuff, I'm going to bring it to you, but only when he tells me it's time. How many of you got a little something out of this morning? Let me see your hands. Come on, put them up. How many of you mad because you came to church this morning? Steve, Joe, and Brent. I'll see y'all in my office right after church. I'm kidding. God is good, isn't he? Let's get our ushers up here. Let's take our second, our building fund. If you didn't get to be here to put your tithe and offerings in and you want to do that, drop it in here. Otherwise, we need to do a few little things around here, and this is the one way we pay for the building. Amen? It don't come close enough to pay for it all, but every little bit helps. You'd be surprised, every little dime that comes in on Sunday morning, how much it goes. Right now, I want you to get in agreement with me. Right now, we absolutely need, and it's not coming in right now, we need no less than $5,000 a week to come in this church to pay all the bills, to do everything that needs to be done. And right now, we're way below that. So that means we have to do two things, pray and do our part. Don't expect everybody else to do your part. Pray and do your part. Call it in with me and Ginger. Call it in with me and Ginger. If you love this church, be a joint that supplies. Amen? Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, we love you, we praise you, Father God. We honor you. And we thank you that this building is paid for in full. And all the bills of the people, Father God, that are faithful in this is taken care of. And teach those that still don't get it. Teach them, Father, how they can be connected up to your blessings by learning to do this one thing, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wait till the ushers get past you. Somebody said, well, how come you need that much a month? It takes a lot of money to run a building of this size. You might not believe it does, but it takes a lot of money to run a building of this size. The heating, the cooling, a lot of stuff. The insurances, the utilities, the building payment by itself, all of it. It takes a lot of money to run a church. You might not believe it does, and that we're all here to make that happen. All right, be blessed. Hope your team wins today, as long as it's not the Green Bay Packers. If it's Green Bay, I'm sorry, but I'm praying against you. Appreciate y'all today. Love you guys. Have a good one. Be blessed.